Hello. Welcome to the Therapy Thursday podcast. I'm your host, Kelly Yu, and every single Thursday, I learn lessons from my own therapy sessions and I share them with all of you. I'm so ready to go through and grow through so much with you. Let's go. Hi, everyone. I have my amazing friend on Therapy Thursday podcast again for her second time. It is Miss Kenzie Brenna.
Hi,
cheers,
Kel.
Cheers. Hi. You know what I love about you? You're the only person that I've met as a friend through social media that calls me Kel.
Really?
Yes.
Is that okay?
Oh, I love it.
Okay, good.
Makes me feel like you give a shit about me. Do you know what I'm saying?
Big time. I do.
You know, I call you Kens.
Yeah, we're Kens and Kel.
I know. I'm the reason that I realized that was because my friend the other day was like, does anyone call you Kel? And I said, honestly, no, sometimes my dad and then actually my friend Kens. Isn't that why? Like, of all the people that I know.
Oh, yeah. I love that. I love that. And no, it's very rare that people call me Kens. And I freaking love it when people do because it just makes me feel like I'm closer to them for some reason.
I know, me craving closeness is all times. Just continue to affirm to me that you care about me. Continue to affirm that I matter to you. Continue to tell me that I'm not unimportant.
Oh my God. Give me all of the validation forever, always.
And that is why we are talking today. Everyone, you know how I have talked a lot about my past relationships, and I find it to kind of be disheartening sometimes when I notice that a lot of my life has been recovering from traumatic, manipulative, narcissistic, unhealthy, toxic relationships. And I kind of want to transition you all with me as I'm healing and actually doing things that show healing, because it is easy to harbor on the past. Kens, do you ever feel like that?
Oh my God. Big time. Yeah. Big time. And I also in recently, and maybe you'll vibe with this, I feel like I've been like addicted to like healing in a way. And I've been so focused on like future me that I also, it's like this weird pendulum and it swings from one way to the other. And I'm like, fuck, where's the balance? Why am I so far into like, okay, I got to do this for future me and I've got to like heal now and like do all those things. And then also getting so stuck in the past and whatnot. And then I'm like, oh my God, where is the balance with this? why can't I like figure this out?
Well, the present thing, like when I had therapy yesterday and my therapist was like, just try to stay present. I said, how? I'm always afraid of what's going to happen next. So when you said the pendulum thing, I'm planning for future me or I'm healing past me. That's also why I can't find that thing you said is balance, which is being now. What's now? Scary. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that we're just so, it's just easier to live in the past or live in the future, you know, and like, the past, if we dwell on the past, we might get depression or anxiety from that, or we might feel depressed or anxious about that. And if we do that with our future selves, we might feel a little bit depressed and anxious about that, overwhelmed, like all of the things. And I think that's why like mindfulness and meditation can just be so important, that like self-awareness aspect of it, like coming back to the present moment, because usually in the present moment, things are okay, like you're safe. You know, usually, but it's hard to just like get yourself there and, you know, focus in on that one little moment that you're like, nothing bad is happening right now. Just chill out. Nothing bad is happening right now. It's so hard though. It's so hard.
I almost get angry at that because my therapist said that to me yesterday. She goes, you right now, you're okay. There's nothing bad happening right now. I said, then why do I feel anxious? But you are right. Time to just sit into it. And I wanted Kenzie to come on here to talk to, well, just me and I guess to all of you, because we had a phone date the other night and we were talking about boys. And I know I have told you all a lot about boys, but a lot of it's like negative past or positive future present healing. And this is the first time I'm telling you all any of this, but I finally, after probably almost 2 years of not talking to one boy, I was high key celibate because it was a conscious choice for me to work on the trauma that just happened from my past relationships, and I wanted to do that. I had to do that. But I was telling Kenzie all about like a boy that I'm talking to.
And I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. Truly.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm like, I honestly cannot for the life of me, like, tell everybody. I can't like stress enough, like telling your audience and your listeners and your community just like how much work you've done on yourself in the last few years. Mm-hmm. Like, you've done so much, and you have honestly inspired me so much to do like my own healing, but mm-hmm. you've done so much, and you have like, you know, for people who don't know you, you're a very romantic and very sexual person. And like, you, yeah. you can go there. I don't know if you always let these people in on that side of you, but like, you're very open. And that's why we can like have so many conversations about so many different things. And I know that that was hard for you to sacrifice over the last few years in order mm-hmm. to get to a better place with yourself. So I cannot stress it enough, just how much work that you've done and how much you deserve to be able to like go out and like flirt and like connect with people in that way. Mm-hmm. It's you, seriously, you deserve it more than honestly anybody. Like, you've done so much for yourself in that sense.
Thank you. And something always so cool that you said the other day was, life is supposed to be fun. Oh, shit. Okay. Life is supposed to be fun? Okay. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's like something that happens when we get stressed or anxious about something that's also exciting mm-hmm. is that we can like start ruminating on all of the bad stuff, and we forget that it's just like, oh, this is supposed to be fun. This is supposed yeah. to be fun and exciting. And I'm getting – because there's always a flip side to everything. Like, if you're excited about something, the flip side of that is nervous, you know, like there's like they really are. It's like splitting hairs when you think about getting excited, and you know, you have your heart racing and you get butterflies, and you know, you might get flushed in your face and you kind of get like tingly and like, you know, you're vibrating a little bit. But what's the difference between that and like an anxiety attack? It's like context, you know, mm-hmm. like an anxiety attack, feeling anxious or panicked. It's, you're also feeling like your heart palpitations are going, you have butterflies, you like can't like, you know, you can't feel grounded or anything like that. It's so similar to being excited, but you're thinking about different things. And so when there is something exciting for me that's happening in my life, I always go to the anxiety. I like rarely stay in the excitement. I'm like, oh, well, this is going to be terrible and bad, and this is going to crash and burn, and so I might as well stay in those thoughts and not be excited. And then I have to remember something. I'm like, this is supposed to be fun. This is supposed to be fun. What the fuck is my brain doing? Like, ruining it right now.
That's exactly how I feel about boys, and that's why I avoided them for so long. I mean, yes, for a long time, it was a conscious choice that, Kelly, you need to heal. Like, hello.
Right,
like,
right.
I, ever since I was 15, I don't know if Kenzie were the same, serial dater, serial monogamous, boyfriend, boy, boyfriend, hooking up, boyfriend, next guy, always trying to have like guys in the back burner. I was always very, very insecure and didn't know how to be alone. And so, you know, a lot of us just do that. We don't realize we're doing that, but I always had someone that I wanted to be there, whether it was just a guy I was texting, whether we were hooking up, whether it was a boyfriend. And so after, I'm catching you all up on this, I was in a 6-year-long narcissistically abusive relationship. Obviously, I had no idea that he was a narcissist until I was 25 years old. I'm 28 now. At 25, I went to couples counseling, and I love that. I think it's super great for couples. But when you're that young and you're going because he said he's not going to stop cheating on you, and that's why you're there, that's pretty fucking weird.
Oh, it's so bad.
It's just so wild. And I can't believe that I went through that. And I can't really relate to her, but I feel bad for her. And then, you know, it was just this process of learning about narcissists and watching all these YouTube videos and hearing about it from my therapist. I mean, I never knew about narcissistic codependent relationships and how it's such a big attraction. So anyway, moving forward, I ended up dating someone else after that, had addiction issues, loving that for me. And then after that, I said, okay, all right, I can't take more. Like, I just felt so banged up. I just, I couldn't sit with my own decisions at that point either. And I was growing. I wasn't attracted to toxic, unhealthy situations anymore either. But Ken's, what you're saying made me think about how, yes, I chose to be alone and single and not talk to anyone for healing. But then I started to fear joy because my fear of experiencing happiness, intimacy, connection makes me so terrified of losing it. Like once I get it. So this summer, did I tell you this? Wait, did I tell you that I met someone when I went to Hawaii for my birthday?
No.
Oh my God. Wait, really?
Yeah, we didn't talk for like the whole summer because we were both so busy. Oh my God. Yes. Lay it on me. No. Tell me everything.
Okay. So since I was just there for my birthday, I was myself and my mom. My mom and I are super, super close, and we were not close for a long time because we had a lot of family issues going on and actually hadn't talked to her for probably 6 months prior to that. And when my birthday started rolling around, she was like, hey, I know we've had a lot of issues lately. We were always close when I was little, obviously issues in the family, needed boundaries. And then she's like, hey, I know it's your birthday coming up. If you would be open, like I'd like to go with you if you're planning a trip or something, if your sister Lauren can't go, and Lauren couldn't go for more than a couple days. And I really wanted to go to Hawaii. Anyway, she ends up getting severe food poisoning the whole time. Like severe. And you knew that, Kenz.
Yeah. That was so scary. That sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like IVs and doctors coming. So anyway.
Yeah.
I was really feeling scared for her, but she just needed to rest. So we got her all, you know, doctored up, like syringed up, all these things.
What did she eat?
We were there for a day, and I don't know even what she ate that made her sick.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yes, I know. So it was my birthday trip, and I was just there by myself, and I said, you know what? I'm going to go on Bumble and just find someone to hang out with, you know, not trying to go on dates and stuff.
Yeah.
So I matched with, you know, like a couple guys, and there was this one guy, and he seemed pretty cute, and he was Japanese. And so if you all don't know. So I'm half Chinese, half Japanese. I've never really dated anyone within my ethnic background, which is something that I realize is kind of weird. We've talked about that, right? Like how it was hard for me to come to terms with my own self or whatever. So I was like, oh, look at us practicing. Like talking to a boy and he's Asian.
Ugh, love it. Love that, Kel.
And so I literally just messaged him saying, hey, I'm here for my birthday for a week. My mom is really sick. Do you want to just do fun stuff? And he was down. And so I was like, I'm going to be at this beach during sunset if you want to come hang. And he pulled up and we started talking. It was really fun. And I was like, I'm hungry. He took us to this really cool, cute mom and pop kind of Japanese sushi restaurant. And then I invited him back to my hotel because there's a really cool rooftop pool with like music and stuff.
Amazing.
Yeah. And he came and we were just vibing. He's not the guy I'm talking to now, just so you guys know. Have you ever met someone on vacation, Kenz? Do you do that?
Yeah, actually, I did one time meet someone on vacation. I can't spill all the secrets on this.
No.
It'll come out in another medium. But actually, I did meet someone when I was in LA once, and it was right after you and I hung out.
Oh my God.
Honestly, you have a knack for bringing people to a rooftop pool.
Oh my God, yes. I had you at my rooftop pool. That's my move.
Yeah. And after that, I met up with somebody and just literally like fucking had such an incredible connection with someone. Aww. But it's all, and we like went to the Griffith Observatory and stared at the stars, and it was like just ridiculous. It was so ridiculous, but I have had that, and it is wild having that connection, and it feels so fun. It does. It feels so fun.
That's exactly what I wanted to do. I was like, oh my God, your therapist is going to be so proud of you. That's what I was thinking the whole time.
That's the best.
Yeah, it really was. And we hung out for like
Did we hook up with him?
Listen, Kenz. So we hung out that night. And then I was like, you know, my mom's with me. You know what I'm saying? So like, you got to go. Bye. And I don't know. I'm not against one night or anything like that. I just have never really done that. I have done a like casual hooking up, but it's always been someone I knew. So I was just like, oh my God, I'm so proud of you for like letting a boy sit next to you.
Yes. Oh my God. And that's like the first step. Yeah. Oh, you can't 2 years of not even talking to somebody to then like going out and having a connection. That's a milestone, and it doesn't have to be anything more than that. That's amazing. That's honestly amazing. And you're like respecting your boundaries and also your mom's boundaries. Like it would be weird if you like brought home a guy to like bang him and you're like, sorry, Ma, I know that you're puking.
Yeah, I know you're in the bed next to me.
Yeah, exactly. But do you mind? I got to get my rocks off.
It was such a strange and exhilarating and scary feeling just because, like you said, even a male energy in my vicinity was a lot. And I think a lot of us experience, we might think it seems lame or weird to have such a big reaction to something that seems so small, but just letting someone around you and talking to them is actually a big thing. And when I noticed myself being very myself, I didn't care how I came off because I was like, I'm never going to see this guy again.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting. Can I do that with people that I will see again?
Right. Like, are the stakes get higher in a way?
Yeah.
Right. I actually had this conversation as well with my therapist because I'm also in a phase of wanting to just hook up with people, but I've never met someone on the first date and hooked up with them. Like, I've never done that. I just don't have a lot of trust, and it's hard for me to drop into what feels like a lot of trust very fast. But I want to do that. Like, that's like not a bucket list thing, but I want to be able to trust and have confidence that I'm making smart and safe decisions and that my intuition is spot on with someone. And I want to be able to have that experience multiple times. But this week I was talking to a guy and we planned to meet up like on Thursday and it was just going to be sex. And I was like really excited for it. Like I could like feel in my body.
Oh,
I was like, I was like really excited for it. And then I bailed. I didn't ghost, but I said like, hey, I got saddled with work. Can we reschedule? And I felt so disappointed with myself because I just found myself that I was like, oh my God, I don't know this person. I can't trust them. I don't know if I'm going to be safe. I don't know if this is going to be good. I don't know. And then I kind of talked about it in therapy yesterday and I got to a better place where I felt like, you know, I came to like understand that I do have trust issues and I do have safety issues and it is okay for me to go slow, even if that's not exactly what the goal is right now. Like the goal is of course like safety and security and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to go slow. It's just that I have friends that can just like hook up with people on the drop of a hat and like it's fine. It's fine. Mm-hmm. They don't think twice about it. And I'm like, fuck, what is it like living not thinking twice about things? Like I want that. I want to not be able to think twice about stuff. I don't mean to be reckless. I just mean to like be less anxious about things. But you know, this whole time that I've been in Vancouver, it's not like I haven't, I have watched myself grow, you know, like I have actually gone out with guys and like had a couple of dates and like been physical and stuff like that. It's just that I have this like high standard for myself that I'm like, no, you have to do this thing like right now. And like, you have to be confident and bold and brave Kenzie that people see online all of the time. And like, you're not doing that right now. So I have to tell myself that I'm like, you know, I'm going on a date tonight. And I'm like, that's actually like a great first step, you know, and I'm sexting with people and I'm like talking dirty with people right now. And it's like, that's fine. Like, you know, I wouldn't have done that 3 years ago. I wouldn't have done that 4 years ago. I wouldn't have done that 2 years ago, but now I'm doing it. And that's what you were saying about just like having that connection with somebody or just like, you know, being in person with them. That is literally like, that's great. That's a great first step. And it doesn't have to be all or nothing. Like, you know, that splitting thing where we put everything into categories and it's like, no, get rid of those categories. It's not an all or nothing thing. And who knows, like maybe I'll go on a date with someone and then, you know, after the date, I'm like, oh wow, I actually like do want to like be physical with you tonight. And I feel okay about this. And I don't know. It's just like just seeing how you feel and whatnot. That, sorry, I was a bit rambly. I don't even know where I was going with that.
No, not rambly at all. Blah, 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 I can't talk. I love the one thing you said maybe a couple minutes ago is I'm not trying to be reckless. I just want to stop always second guessing myself, not allowing myself to sink into my own intuition, my own thoughts, and trusting it. And nothing has to be secure all the time and perfect. Nothing has to be wrapped up in a bow. But obviously, and I'm interested to talk more about when you said safety issues and trust issues, some people might not really know what we mean by that. And when it comes to boys and hooking up and intimacy for us, you know, I have felt like very similar to you where it needs to be this way. And does he really like me? Does he value me? Does he care? Those are all important, but I have allowed a lot of my need for the full on affirmation constantly to get in the way of me just having fun, just me getting out and being myself and me practicing. Like I'm not looking for a husband right now. Totally. So what am I needing them to be in love with me? That's my mindset. That was my mindset when I was much younger because I felt like I needed love. Like I didn't feel loved by what? The male figure in my life. Like I love my dad. He loves me. But we all understand family stuff makes us do other things with relationships. And I've sought out much more closeness and severe security from people that I don't even really want it from.
Yeah. Oh my God. Totally. Those origin wounds are killer. Like fixing those origin wounds that came from our parents and how those patterns come up in our relationships literally it feels like it's like such a setback always when you're like, oh my God, why is this thing happening again? Kind of like what you were talking about, how you got out of that 6-year relationship and then you went into another relationship and there were addiction issues. Like the patterns do repeat themselves unless we break them. Like they really, really, really do. And so I feel like you broke so many patterns by taking the 2-year hiatus. And now when you get into any type of dynamic where, you know, it's like fun and sensual, erotic, maybe it's romantic, like whatever it is, it's almost like it's a test in a way. And not to make that sound so scary, but it is in some way where it's like, how far did you break them? Like, you know, how far down did you break your patterns? And by you showing up and being yourself and, you know, letting it be what it'll be and not having any expectations or just like kind of going with the flow, I feel like it's a really great step. And it's not getting so wrapped up in it is like super, super important too. And continuing the work as well is really important.
Well, you're doing that because you're going on a fucking date tonight. Hello? Why did we steamroll over that detail? You're like going on a date. And so then I'm going to talk about all this other stuff. That's so hype.
Thank you. I'm really excited. I'm very, very, very excited. I am very excited to go on this date. But to be honest, I'm also talking to this guy who doesn't live here in Vancouver, and he lives somewhere else in the world. And it has been this like weird, organic, come to fruition, sort of weird romantic sexual.
Hey, stop judging thing. It. Stop saying weird. There we go. So let's go run it back. It's an organic connection. That's organic.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And have absolutely no clue what's going on with it. And it's been really fun talking to him. And it's been some more than fun. It's been exciting and it's helped me grow. And it's been I really like appreciate how like the connection that we have, and it feels important when we talk and it feels great. And so I'm going on a date tonight and it's not with that guy and I want it to be with that guy. And it's hard. Aww. I have that like whole like push and pull thing that's like feels like it's happening where I'm not like ready to like go and like fly somewhere in the world and like meet up with someone. I'm just definitely not ready to do that. Oops. We'll get to that. Whoops. Check. Check. Well, you guys will know what that means in a sec.
Yeah. Well, I have so much more to tell you all. This is like, there's so many layers to what I've been doing with boys. It's scary in a good way. We're just not used to it coming from me.
Yeah.
Hi, this is going to get real for a sec. Do you ever cry after self-pleasure? I'm seriously asking because that was me after a breakup last year. And it's embarrassing to admit, but it's honestly normal. That's what my therapist says. And if she's lying to me, I really don't care. It helps very much. But it didn't help at all that I wasn't watching porn at that time. So I would just fantasize about my ex. And also, I have never found porn that really felt real, safe, or hot enough all in one. But I committed to my search and I discovered Cheeks. Oh my God, the hottest life changer ever. The Cheeks website is a safe space for everyone curious about sexual stimulation and education. It's also the first sex positive site that's actually ethical and sexually diverse, consensual, and everyone is verified to be over 18 years old. Cheeks is the freaking best and gave me the code Kelly for you to try 14 days free at getcheeks.com. That's GETCHEEX.com. So please have fun with yourself and stop fantasizing about your ex. And if you love it, which I know you will, you're gonna want to have the full year subscription like me. Like, hi, yeah, I need more than 14 days of this amazingness. Thank you. And it's only $6.90 for the full year, and you can cancel that at any time. So please, I mean it, stop fantasizing about your ex. You got this. We got this. Use code Kelly for 14 free days at GetCheeks. That's GETCHEEX.com. I mean it. Stop fantasizing about your ex. Enjoy. Kenz, I want to go back to what you said. When you described it, your dynamic with this organic dude, and you said, I don't know what's going on. You have no clue what's going on. Do you actually not know what's going on? Or do you feel like you wish someone would tell you what's going on, which is him?
The second one.
Right. Isn't that interesting that I do the same thing? That's the only reason I'm saying it. I always, when I'm really insecure about this dynamic, that this is not Hawaii guy, okay? Everyone, I'm talking to another person
talking
now.
Talking to another guy. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'll tell you the rest about Hawaii because we swam under the stars, y'all, in the ocean. Ooh. But hold on. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I find myself saying that a lot when I feel like not super secure in what's going on with someone because I always met a boy. He became my boyfriend and I was his girlfriend. That whole ownership thing, and there's nothing wrong with that. I was used to that. But now I feel really insecure when someone doesn't want to claim me, but I also don't want to be claimed and I don't want to claim you. So I feel confused a lot as to my needs versus my ego's needs.
Yeah, that's such a good way to put it. Like it's like that both and where you want someone to want you and desire you and like want to be in partnership with you. And at the same time, you like want your autonomy and freedom and independence. And you're like, no, that's not what I want. But we've been conditioned so much, especially as women, that like we've been defined by other. And so being in partnership feels defining and it feels really like it's almost like it's a part of our identity. And so wanting that freedom and autonomy can kind of feel conflicting to like, oh, but my heart wants to be settled and it wants to be in partnership.
Right. And I just now when I feel like I am confused, I try to let myself say, okay, then you're confused instead of trying to figure that out.
Do you feel confused right now about what's happening with you and this specific person?
I'm at the place where I am still struggling a lot with very anxious attachment. Regardless if we talk or not, or we spend time together or not, if I don't hear from you or if things shift or change, like if we text a little less, or we talk a little bit more, even after I get off a long phone call with this person, I've been like this my whole life and I just realized it even more lately. I still always just am worried. I'm worried that it's about to end. I'm worried that it's over. I'm worried that it's changing, and I'm the dumb one who's not noticing it. Even if nothing's going wrong, I feel totally embarrassed all the time when I'm vulnerable. I almost feel like, what did I just give up? I don't,
yeah,
sad.
It's so activating for all of our insecurities, and it definitely switches on that. Do you love me as much as I love you? Do you like me as much as I like you? I need to obsess over this because I don't trust and I don't feel safe and I don't feel secure. And I don't feel like I can let, it's also like you can't stop thinking about the dynamic or what's happening in it because there isn't trust. And it's like, when are you going to leave me and how can I leave you first? Or what can I do to, like, you know, source safety and security? Like, you look at everything that they're doing and you're like, well, I guess they like me. I mean, they texted me at like 1 p.m., but they didn't call me today, but they did call me yesterday. And is that okay? Like, is that normal? Is it normal for them to, you know? And then it's hard because you're focused so much on the other person and you're sourcing your safety and security so much from the other person that, like, turning inward and being like, do I want to text them right now? Do I want to phone them right now? Do I actually want to be in this partnership? What do I think of them? How am I coming across to them right now? Because usually what happens is we'll get anxious or we'll get avoidant or we'll do a mix of both in some type of dynamic and some type of partnership. We will get anxious and we'll get avoidant. And then we start sacrificing our authentic selves and we become a version of ourselves that's not even actually us because we're just trying to please the other person, or we're just trying to keep things copacetic, or we're trying to, like, you know, keep things at status quo. So if you feel anxious, someone who's anxious might end up being like, okay, well, I'm anxious and I'm realizing I'm anxious, so I'm going to pull away hard. And then you pull away hard, and then the other person's like, wow, I was, like, texting them and, like, you know, they were around and they were available, and now they're gone, you know, and now they're gone, and that doesn't feel good. So I'm not going to text. And then your anxieties and your insecurities are confirmed because you're like, see, they're not even texting now. And I'm going to pull away harder. Or then you become obsessive and then you can't stop texting them and messaging them. And they're like, wow, this person is, you know, messaging me and not giving me my space or not doing this X, Y, and Z. And it's like, both people are trying to figure out the other person. And it's like, instead of doing that, we have to, like, figure out ourselves in it, you know, and we're just trying to figure out, like, does this person like me? And, like, what can I do to, like, maintain the connection? And I don't know, just getting so wrapped up in that stuff is so hard to break free from. I am definitely also going through it. Fucking, so it's so hard, for fuck's sakes, it's so hard.
This is why we're talking about this today, everyone. I texted Kenzie last night. I said, hey, we're both going through this, and it's such a real thing that everyone, not everyone, but I think everyone has felt some version of just questioning themselves or being worried about a text back. And I was like, we got to talk about this because I just feel so seen, because I have not heard many people talk about the nitty-gritty of the simple things of, oh, did he text me? Should I call him? Da, da, da. And I truly think that's why when I met this Hawaii guy, I felt like very, very free, because I had, quote unquote, the power. I was just visiting and I'm only here and I only texted you because I had nothing to do. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's interesting now that I'm talking to someone that I actually value and I like, and they're not just a vacation person. But let me just wrap up the Hawaii fantasy vacation everyone.
Sorry.
I just feel like I want to give the rest of the story to everyone who's like, why the fuck did you even mention that if you're not going to tell us what happened?
Yeah, so, I want to hear.
So my sister was able to come to Hawaii. We planned this a few months in advance, but she was getting a promotion at work, so she could only come to Hawaii for 2 days, on my birthday and the day after. And so I saw him the day before she came, so I didn't talk to him for a while. I said, when my sister leaves, we can hang out. And so the next time we hung out, he picked me up, and he was a photographer.
Don't.
I, yeah. So, And he wanted to do these really cool things that are called long exposure. So during the night, you can use a camera to do this thing called a long exposure, and you set your camera to take hundreds of photos, and then you put them all together and you can see every single star once you layer every photo.
So cool.
And he said he had never done that. I said, that would be so fun. Let's do it. And so he picked me up, took me to this private beach up like by the mansions in the suburbs area of Honolulu, Hawaii.
Oh my God.
And there was not one soul there, and we could see all the stars, and we decided to pack our swimsuits. Like, this is the most adventurous thing I've ever done in my life, everyone.
This is so cool. This is so fun to listen to.
And I was so nervous. I'm like, oh my God, a boy. And then I'm going to take my clothes off and I'm going to be in a swimsuit and it's just me and him and we're going to be in the water. And then obviously he's going to try to kiss me, right? Like I'm starting to get excited, but it's just, I feel like an infant going back into this, like, boys. So I was like, he set up the camera to start the long exposures. And so it takes a long time. So he said, let's go swim. And I was super excited. I mean, felt like I was in a movie. Like, you're looking up at the sky in the ocean and it's,
that's so beautiful. Like, that's like, doesn't happen, you know? It's like, hold on to those moments. Cause you're like, yeah, this is stuff that people just write about in movies and books. And yet it's happening to me in real life.
It is. And I was in the water and I was having fun. And of course, inside I'm like, okay, is he like getting closer to me? Do I want to? Do I not want to? What do you want? What are you doing? I think if anyone here has also experienced any trauma in relationships or sexual trauma, which I have, when guys come on to me, a lot of times I actually feel instinctively like, get away from me. Even if I want to be close to you, even if I want to be intimate with you, I actually often have a reaction in my own head of, no, 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 no. And then I'll physically start moving back. And I notice that a lot. Like, the internal fight between what I want but what I'm afraid of.
Yeah, that's big for sure. I definitely have, sparks of that for sure. Like, I don't even have anything. I'm just like, yes, yep, definitely. Yeah. Where you just feel really suddenly avoidant in a way. And it brings up some type of feeling of like, ew, I don't actually want that. And mapping like where that feeling has come from, like when did that feeling start arising in, like, you know, in your life? Like, what does that feeling remind you of? Like, how old is that feeling? You know, did that happen? Did that feeling come up as a kid? Did that feeling come up as like a teenager? Like, mapping that can also be really, really tricky. And it's also a way that, like, you know, we have all of these like different parts that live in us. And I feel like that feeling is like almost like a protector person that lives in us, where it's just like, ooh, you know, you get hurt when people like you in this way. So I'm going to like push you away right now, or I'm going to come up with a feeling of disgust or gross, or I'm grossed out or whatever it is. Like, I don't want you. This is icky. I don't like this, in order to protect you. And, you know, and like acknowledging that part and saying like, thank you. I know you're trying to protect me right now, but I actually did want this. I kind of did want this attention, and you know, I'm going to like follow through with it. That's an experience, but it's hard to get to that place.
Well, it's interesting that you said, you know, mapping out where it comes from. And I didn't even know this until my therapist pointed it out to me. When I was in my really toxic relationship, I was really young. I started when I was 19 and I didn't know. I mean, I found this person to be attractive, but I was not attracted to him at all. And I still had to engage with him physically when he was very, very manipulative and mean and cheating on me. And so I never realized that when I would force myself to be intimate with, because in my head, I'm like, oh, they're your partner. You have to.
Right.
That felt very, very, very traumatizing, but I didn't think so. So when my therapist said that to me, I said, I would have never perceived myself as someone who had gone through sexual trauma. I mean, that's never mentioned in popular culture of those two words. Not yet. Not enough.
No, definitely. No, for sure. And that stuff's hard. Yeah, definitely. Like, it's like being scarred sexually and then trying to like find your empowerment and stuff again. That's also what I was thinking about when you were talking about, you know, being empowered with the Honolulu guy, how you were only there and you were jumping ship again. Like you were like, you're like, I'm here, but then I'm leaving. Mm-hmm. There's something that's tricky about that because I have to ask myself that when I'm talking to someone and this happens and it's kind of happening right now, but when I'm talking to someone and I start feeling powerless, and another word for that is just vulnerable. Like I start feeling vulnerable and I start feeling super tender, I end up pulling away and kind of like being icy or being silent or being quiet because I feel like I need to regain my power back. And sometimes I'm like, why do I feel powerless, like communicating? Like, why is that? Why?
Damn.
Why? What? Where did that come from? Like, why is it if I say to someone, hey, I miss you, I miss chatting, I miss getting messages from you, I miss, hey, I really like our connection, how is your day going? Or like, hey, I'd love to like see, I don't know, whatever it is. Like, why does that make me feel like I'm giving them power? You know, like how, when did that happen? Like when
did that happen?
Right? Like what
I'm,
was,
I'm asking, do you feel like, because I know that my dad would stonewall us a lot. Mm. So when he was quiet, that's for me where I think it came from for mine. He would just ignore us if he was in his own head about something and I would just have to take it.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. Like I feel like my mom is this – I don't talk about my mom ever, but mm-hmm. I'm estranged from my mom and, you know, we have our boundaries. It's better for both of us and she's this very incredible person and, you know, did so much good with me and also was incredibly volatile at times. And mm-hmm. I really feel like I wasn't fully able to like – you know, if I was like honest with her or if I opened up with her, like I got fucking cussed out a lot. And it was definitely hard to just like feel like I could be vulnerable around her and whatnot. Not always, of course. Like I always feel like I have to give caveats to that. But now I feel like when I open up to people, particularly someone of the opposite sex, I'm like, if I open up, then they're going to leave. You know, if
precisely.
Like, yeah, precisely.
That's that to me, unfortunately, everyone, that is still a scientific fact in my head. Don't listen to me. But unfortunately, still working through that.
Oh my God. Right. And mm-hmm. it's like, that's also like one of those core beliefs that we have to like work on alleviating and like breaking that pattern because believing that people are going to leave you when you start opening up to them is false. We love it actually when people open up. We love getting text messages that say, I miss you. How are you? And I feel really connected to you right now. This is really fun. You know, people love that.
The you're idea- triggering me so much right now.
The idea that that's like going to drive someone away just doesn't make sense. And also, do you even want to be with – would any of us want to be with someone who is driven away by connection? You know, I'm not talking about messaging them every single hour of the day and being like, so I adore you. You are the one for me. I'm going to marry you. I'm not talking about that because that's obviously someone being incredibly codependent. I'm just saying right. that like when you have a connection and you want to talk to that connection, that shouldn't be a bad thing and that shouldn't right. be stigmatized in any way. And the idea that someone's going to leave us because we feel connected to them, it's not real. That's not – and if they do leave because it's too much, like because a text message is too much, like, hey, thanks for the 15-day trial. Like, goodbye. I don't want you. We don't want you.
The idea, the necessary concept of bridging the gap for connection is such a big thing that you and I are both working through. And mm-hmm. I suck at finishing a damn story. I did bridge the gap. between me and this guy in the ocean. I'm sorry, everyone.
Oh my God. Keep going. Keep going.
No, no. I'm loving our conversation.
Yes.
Like this is, it all winds together. Like that's what's so interesting about this. The big concepts versus the small things to the dates to the relationships. It all really winds down to how do we talk to our inner selves, right? And in that moment, I said, talk to yourself. I can tell that you're anxious. I can tell that you're afraid, but I can also tell that you want to have fun during this fucking vacation and you haven't kissed a boy in so long and this is your moment. Just have fun. Yes. I legit said that to myself.
Yes. Oh my God. I'm so happy. I'm so proud of you.
So he, you know, guys are so hilariously lame. Sometimes they try to find any excuse to like try to start touching you because they understand. Like they can't just like lunge at you. Like obviously there's some psychotic guys who have done that. But
he was like,
oh, like my hands were getting pruny because he wanted to like touch my hand. And I was like, I just cringe, but it's cute, right? Like when people are like innocently trying to get close to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it was freezing in the water. So we got out and he like got a towel. He put it around me. And then honestly, he just put me into his chest and put like the towel around us. And it was,
oh my God.
I know. I just put my head in his chest and I was like, oh, this is happening. I said, oh, wow, Kelly, look at you.
Aww, that sounds amazing. And how did that feel in your body? Did that feel scary? Like, what were you like the whole time? Were you like, I'm really nervous. I don't know if I actually want this. Or were you like, no, this is great. This is what I want. Like, you didn't have nerves.
It was, this is what I want. So proud of you right now.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. Amazing. Oh,
and then
I love
that.
I
don't even know. Thanks, Kenz. And then I think we just started like making out and it was at the beach. And then this is the day that my mom finally had to get her own room because we weren't sure if he had like a stomach flu or anything. Right. So I was like, oh, yo, it's game on.
Oh, yes. That's what I'm talking about. Okay.
And yeah. So, you know, I'll spare you all the details because you all have an imagination. Just imagine what you would do. And I just felt really, really very proud of myself because I had really starved myself a lot. Not from sex. It's barely about the – it was about being open to just doing something for myself without being so terrified of the way that someone else is perceiving me. I wanted to have fun and so I went for it.
Oh, okay. That is so fucking inspiring. Thank you. So inspiring. I'm so proud of you. And I'm so happy for you that you had that experience.
Me too.
I'm so, so, so proud of you. That's freaking amazing. And I don't think that like it could have been any more perfect.
No.
It could not have been any more perfect.
No. And in the next episode, everyone, I'll tell you what happened next because the story after that is way more insane. So we're going to keep that. But so Kenz, I'm inspired by kind of your goals, I guess, when it comes to interacting with people freely, sexually. I still think that I am such a freaking, like you said at the beginning of this episode, very much a romantic, very much like I get very simpy. If I like someone, I'm a simp type. And I don't know. I think I used to hate that about myself, but that's because I didn't know how to engage with that part of myself without being codependent. And now maybe I do like that about myself, about how I do like feeling really connected to one person and feeling loved. But like you are also that way. And you're also on this journey of wanting to be more free and trusting your gut and intuition. And I think you're doing a cool thing about the ways you're going to go about practicing it is kind of the way to do that for you at this time.
Yeah, totally. Remind me, what was the question again? Sorry, I was like free. I was like going and I was like following.
No, I don't even think I don't even think I just asked a question. I was just like, how does it feel, I guess, to be someone who I kind of do perceive sometimes you as someone who does just want like one person because you are very, very deeply connected as a human.
Yeah.
And you're also on this journey of wanting to be more free and explore without having I don't know, being tied down, yeah, not to others, but like yourself and those things that you feel like you may have tied down for yourself. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that's a great question. And I'd love to like flip it back and hear your response to it as well. But I do, like, I'm a fucking diehard romantic. I am. I'm like, aww. I literally grew up with all of the rom-coms, all of the Disney movies. My mom was like, always told me and my brother, like, even though we came from a divorced family, she always told us that we were love children and that we were like born out of love and that that's like what we should seek in relationships. And so I've been love obsessed since I was a kid. Like, for my sixth birthday, my parents were so poor. My sweet parents were so poor, but they gathered any money that they could, and they got me this life-size Barbie. And I mean, like, when I say we were poor, I mean, like, we were so poor, and somehow they got me this life-size Barbie. It was this Barbie that I wanted, and she was as tall as me.
And what? I didn't know they made that.
I don't, this was like the 90s. Like, who knows?
What year were you born? I can't remember.
89.
Okay, I'm 93. I still don't remember those. Yeah, 89. That's a great year. Hey, Tay Tay. Yeah. Hey, keep going.
And I was six, and I put on, and the dress that was on this Barbie was a wedding dress, and I put it on, and there was one boy at my birthday party, and I put it on, and I told everyone, I was like, I am going to marry Zachary today. Like, I am going to marry Zachary today. And I was in love with him. And I was at 6 years old. Like, I have been love obsessed forever. I'm like, that's it. I'm going to get married. I love this. And then that year my parents divorced and like really bad stuff happened in the family. And I curled up on my aunt's chest when everything was going on. And I told her, I said, I never want to get married. And that was like one of my big origin wounds was like the break of marriage and like the facade and, you know, and like just, wow, like love doesn't last kind of thing. But it didn't really stop me from being super boy obsessed. And I've always dreamt of, like, you know, when I was younger, I was like, by the age 28, I want to have like two kids. I want to have a house. I want to be married. And I'm like 31, turning 32. I'm not in a relationship. I'm like just trying to get laid. And like, I'm just like interested in just having sex. And like, I don't know if I really want kids or anything like that. But I do, like, my heart does still, like, very much, like, my heart very, very, very much wants monogamy. It wants to settle down with someone for the rest of my life, for the rest of infinity. I want to, like, just have this, like, really incredible relationship that, you know, is one for the ages. And then, but another part of me right now knows that that's not my chapter right now, for sure. That's not my chapter right now, because I'm traveling, I'm too independent, I want to sleep with too many people. Like, that's not the goal right now. But for my heart, for sure, like, she longs so badly for love, like really deep, meaningful, long-lasting love. And I'm getting better with, like, accepting that part of myself, because I didn't like that part of myself for so long. I would tell my friends, I'm like, I just want a frontal lobotomy, or I just want to put my consciousness into a robot, and I just like want to like be robotic for the rest of my life. Because, you know, as a diehard romantic, you get hurt because everything feels like a possibility. Everything. The person, the man that you cross on the street, the man that you sit next to on the subway, the man that you talk to on WhatsApp. It's like everything is a possibility, and it's so easy for you to get into your imagination, or it's so easy for you to get into partnership and be the more romantic one and not feel like it's being reciprocated. And so for so long, I've been like trying to turn that part of me off, or I'm just like, no, like, you know, be more logical, be colder, be more distant, like, you know, just don't be so connected to other people. And now I'm like learning more about how to like regulate my connection, one, with myself, so I can first, like, you know, fall in love and be romantic with myself. And then two, just find, it's not going to be impossible to find a fucking partner who can like match that. And I'm telling myself that, and I'm like, I don't know if it's true, but I don't want to settle for less. And I don't want to actually be more cold, because I love being romantic. Like, I love making my partner feel thought about and loved and cherished and all of those things. And I want it in return. And it just doesn't, I think if you have these innate parts of ourselves, you know, not shutting them off because they're too sensitive or too vulnerable to bear, but just like learning to just like be in pain and in the weight of them and being okay with like, yeah, I might get hurt, but like, fuck, if I'm going to get hurt for being romantic, then like, that's kind of the best at the same time, you know? It's better than like being hurt and you're like, and I didn't put myself on the line. Like, where's the like, where's the romance in that?
I am so scared of also being who I really am, which is I am very like soft on the inside, but I present as very cold.
You are a softie.
Yeah, I'm a marshmallow with jello on the inside. And I can tell how much I think that it's a bad thing. Just as I'm hearing you talk, I just felt so, oh my God, like that is who I really am. And how do I keep allowing myself to judge and think it's bad? And the reason why a lot of us feel like it is bad to be that way, because there has been one situation or a handful of situations that have quote unquote proven that it was stupid for you to be vulnerable, but that was never the case anyway. You just happened to interact with someone who took advantage of it, who didn't know how to handle you, who didn't know how to give what you have to offer, who didn't know how to hold you in the ways that you deserved and should have just been given normally, naturally. Mm-hmm. And so I think the data points that I have of, hey, when you get really close to someone, they start cheating on you and hate you forever and act like you were the problem. Mm-hmm. That's really what I feel. So when someone is close to me and opens up to me, I have this thing where I just think I look really dumb, and that's just not true at all. It's really brave to open up and exciting. Just like what you said is, what's the point if you don't of life really, even if you don't experience anything and feel anything. And I am learning that through practicing and opening up with someone I'm talking to now. It's just so interesting that if I'm not around them, I start to just shift again back into my protective little state. And my therapist yesterday, I was talking about all this with her, and she said, what this really tells you is, you know, you just, when you're in those uncomfortable moments on your own, it's time to work on the fact that you feel that in your own body of not having just enough secure attachment with yourself quite yet. Even though I feel very securely attached to myself, there's if something jolts it that quickly, then I still have a lot of nice, compassionate work to do. And she said, you know, whenever I start to feel, ugh, like you're being so needy, ugh, you're being so vulnerable, oh, you're so sensitive, she said, can you just look at that part of yourself? Like, can I just give you a hug instead?
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
That's because so that's what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I hear you. And it's very easy to be securely attached and then to be in relationship and have that test it, you know? And like, that's kind of what I was saying earlier, where that's so normal, Kel. Like, that's so, so, so normal to be like, I'm good on my own. And then when someone, it's like if your parent walks in the room or if your lover walks in the room, you get tested because they're like, they're the people that poke at the sensitive spots from us, you know? And it's just so, that is really, really, really easy to just like all of a sudden be super anxious and whatnot. And there is forever more stuff to work on, definitely. And, you know, sometimes I remind myself that I'm like, when I start getting really anxious about something, I'm like, wow, like it's because this means a lot to me, you know? And like, what's the thing that I value here that I'm scared to lose? What's the thing that I'm like valuing here that I'm like really nervous I'm going to shake up or I'm not going to have again? And then I'm like, oh, okay, it's, I value like this, I value these connections. You know, I don't really like do mediocrity. I don't do that. I like when I get involved with people, it's because they're like amazing, amazing humans. Mm-hmm. And it makes it so much more scary to lose because I care a lot. And just being okay with the fact that I care and not being disempowered by it and knowing that like, even if this connection like doesn't last forever, that's okay. Cause like I got me and life's like been pretty good with me so far. So reminding myself of that and like, you know, acknowledging those anxious parts. I think that for you particularly, this is like a chapter of anxiety, but like it doesn't last forever. Like reminding yourself mm-hmm. of that, and that like the anxiety doesn't last forever. It will like eventually dissipate and it will, you know, evaporate, and it won't always be like this. Like you mm-hmm. will shift past these fears, and then of course new fears will come up, but you just mm-hmm. won't be this anxious forever.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm actually enjoying the fact that I feel something. I enjoy and appreciate the fact that I'm processing the anxiety. I am getting afraid, but I still choose to keep going for it. And I encourage you all to do the same.
Yes.
Because those feelings are already there. These fears already exist. And the only way to kind of beat them out is to work through them by doing stuff. And Kenz, I just want to thank you so much for always being here to talk to me and sharing a lot of what you're going through. It's wild to think that, you know, we just have so many parts of us. And yes, you definitely do present as strong and whatever the hell that you think is different than the inside. But I think your insides and your ability to hold all that is what makes you super strong and is so fucking cool.
Thanks, hon. I really appreciate it. And likewise, but it is interesting because I don't always feel that way. You know what I mean? Like when I told you that I think that I did something that was like kind of low integrity, one of the guys that I'm talking to right now, I mm-hmm. wasn't necessarily being clear. And I think that I kind of said something that was a little bit bitter and tired and you know, and all of those things. And looking back, I'm like, fuck, I didn't like choose courage in that moment just to be like, hey, this thing meant a lot to me. Instead, I like was kind of passive aggressive because it felt like too vulnerable for me to just like be open. So I definitely have moments where I'm like, fuck, how did I not choose bravery? How did I not choose courage and honesty? But you learn, you just learn. You're just like, you know what? At least I'm noticing that I'm creating this pattern. At least I'm noticing, and I have self-awareness that I can notice that, and I'm not just doing it on default. So at least there's that. But it's hard. It's so hard.
Kenz, that's one moment that you decided to – it's not even, oh, I didn't choose courage. It was, oh, I'm just having a moment. Like, do you have to be so – on top of it all the time? Is that even needed? Is that possible? Do you have to do that?
I mean, with my high standards for myself, I want to be.
Right. And because you are so good at being aware and carrying things, and often a lot of times if we are like this, everyone, we carry other people through conversations, through relationships. So take note of how the people in your life, they can carry you sometimes too. It's not codependency to help each other through stuff too. You don't always have to be the one that's so responsible. We're all just people, and we can be soft and we can be vulnerable. We can be scared. We can be not courageous.
Thank you. But yeah, that's such a good reminder. Like truly, that's such a good reminder. Yeah. Thank you, Kel.
Take that with you today and onto your date. You could just be a beta. Be a whole ass beta bitch.
Oh God. Yeah. I'll be a cuck today. Thank you.
There you go. I love you, Kenz. I love you.
Cut that out.
No. Damn.
We might not. It's up to you.
Nope. We're not. I hope that didn't offend anyone. We're good.
Oh God. That's so funny. I'm obsessed. Well,
any last words, Kenz, to our audience for this amazing conversation? Anything.
Just that Kelly and I are like in this new phase of life where we're figuring out stuff with men and with boys, and that we don't really know what we're doing, but we're doing it anyway, and that there's bravery in that. And if you're, you know, figuring out your life too, like keep going, just like keep going, keep being brave, keep, you know, choosing honesty and integrity, and keep choosing love. Like that's, I think, is the most important.
Sorry, just absorbing.
Yeah, what about you? What do you want to leave the listeners with?
I'm terrified, everyone. I'm terrified, and I want to keep going because I don't want to be terrified my whole life. I've really stuck to my fears and let them control me, and I needed to be alone and not interact with anyone, but I had to admit to my own self that I was ignoring my needs, ignoring my desires, and I had to start being brave to go out and get what I have been burying for a very, very long time. So if there's anything that you're thinking about when I'm saying that, you can handle, even if something is scary or difficult, because I swear that some piece of excitement or joy is going to stick with you much more than that.
Love that. I love that. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you all so much for listening to the Therapy Thursday podcast. And I cannot wait to just imagine the brave thing that you're going to do today. Thanks, Kenz.